Well, thank you so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong, and I'm speaking to you from London, and my colleague Eric Sinrod's here as well.
Well, I'm not actually in London. I'm in San Francisco, a blazing hot San Francisco. It's supposed to get up into the 90s today.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're heading well into winter here in the UK. But Eric, you've been pondering on hacking, and particularly as it relates to educational institutions.
That's true. I've been thinking of many things, including the presidential debate we had last night, which was quite fascinating. But that's a whole other subject and not for our Tech Law 10. But yes, you know, we know that all sorts of businesses and organizations potentially are vulnerable to hackers. And educational institutions, unfortunately, Jonathan, are no exception, as highlighted by a recent example involving Northwest Florida State College. And according to a recent memo that was made public by CNET from the college's president to all employees, one or more hackers accessed a folder on the school's main server from the period of May of this year through September. And this particular folder contained multiple files. And apparently by working between the files, the hacker or hackers apparently managed to assemble sufficient data to engage in identity theft as to 50 employees. And data was obtained, sensitive data was obtained pertaining to names, social security numbers, dates of birth, and direct deposit account numbers. Accordingly, and also, I should say, data relating to addresses, phone numbers, and college email addresses were compromised, too. There's more. The president's memo indicates that current and past employees going back as far as 2002 who have utilized direct pay deposits potentially also have been subject to the data compromise. And the number of impacted employees could be as high as 2,200. Now, the president in his memo opines that all of this was the result, quote, of a professional coordinated attack by one or more hackers, close quote. And he is also concerned that student information such as birth dates, social security numbers, et cetera, may have been accessed, but he's not presently aware that such information has been taken. So it's not entirely clear the true harm that's occurred yet. In terms of technological solutions, the president points out that, quote, the access pathway used to invade our main server has been sealed, close quote. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Jonathan, educational institutions, like other companies and organizations, are not immune from hacker attacks and the potential for data security breaches. Obviously, they would be smart now to implement needed technological measures on the front end to prevent or mitigate possible attacks. So, for example, if a school has some sort of access pathway to a server that could serve as an avenue for a hacker attack, that pathway needs to be addressed in order to prevent such an attack and to do so on the front end and not after there's been a problem. So this is just, a particular instance that shows, what actually happens in the real world when there's an attack and the problems that can ensue. And I'd be interested in your thoughts on this as well.
I think that's very interesting. I advised a education institution over here on what sounds to be a similar attack some time ago. But I think there are a number of issues for universities and educational establishments. I mean, firstly, they have a large number of people on their networks. They might have 20,000 students and 5,000 staff or whatever. So that's quite a large population and is obviously attractive playing the numbers game for people who are going to do identity theft. And, of course, they already know part of the magic jigsaw, if you like, in that they know an institution that those individuals are associated with. I think the other two elements that add to the risk are, firstly, that a lot of universities, of course, were very early adopters of internet technology. So there was a network called Janet, which is a pre-internet a base where the educational institutions were already sharing information electronically. And some of them aren't like corporations where they've reiterated their system. I think some institutions maybe have some of the Janet structures around. But more importantly, they have by their very nature, educational establishments, quite transient populations. So if you were a corporation with 20,000 employees, then you may lose 10% of the employees a year, for example. But if you're an educational institution with 20,000 students, then because they graduate and move on to other institutions, you might lose 25% of those students each year. So the population is more transient. And as a result, more people know how the network works and have less loyalty because they're no longer with the organization. So I think your advice to educational institutions to almost regard themselves as corporates in terms of looking after data, but also regarding themselves as more vulnerable because of the nature of their operations is advice well given.
Well, good. Thank you. So that, I guess, rounds out our topic for this particular Tech Law 10. Coming up soon, Jonathan and I are going to try to broadcast to you together live again, as we did last year from Philadelphia, but this year from the beach at Boca Raton, where we'll be the weekend after next. Is that right, Jonathan?
That's right. And by all means, everyone can get on a plane and come along. You have to pay your own expenses, but you'd be welcome to join us.
But we'll give you a margarita or a daiquiri or a pina colada. But anyway, this has been your weekly Tech Law 10. I'm Eric Sinrod in the San Francisco office of Duane Morris, LLP. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. As you know, you can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. We're everywhere. And Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. We do look forward to hearing from you with topics, whether educational or otherwise. And all that remains is to say thank you for listening and tune in next time.
Thank you.